morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. I have asked over and over again how people are doing, and the resounding answer is cold. So we are glad that you have braved the cold this morning. And whether it is your first time or you have worshiped with us your whole life, we are glad that you found your way here. Take a look at your bulletin. It's full of announcements and also a calendar. Demonstrates how we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have a question about our worship or life together, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any of the questions that you might have. We do have a few announcements this morning. First is, please mark your calendar. January 27th, the last Sunday of the month, will be the ordination and installation of our new officers. We will also have a potluck lunch. Bring lots of soup to stay warm. We will also have our annual meeting to receive the 2018 reports and also hear the results from the survey that was put together by the property development team. Today's your last chance to fill that out, so please submit your responses ASAP. Jen.
Good morning. First, a couple youth updates. Junior High's Lasertron is today. There will be pizza in the lounge at 12:30. We'll go play lasers and then pick up here at 3. The high school retreat was canceled due to low numbers, but we are going to have an event the evening of the 27th, and it's going to be here 6 to 8. It's Bob Ross Paint Night, so that's been a big favorite amongst the youth. Coffee House was a huge success, so thank you to everybody who came and volunteered, everybody who just came and watched. The music was amazing. Thank you to all our performers. We raised over $1,300. So that is fantastic. And we do have some more desserts for sale after worship. Go on down to the kitchen and buy something to take home to warm you up later today. Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning. On February 9th, we have two events for Mission. We have our blood drive, and we have our food pantry. We're looking for volunteers. So if you want to help with the food pantry and give some blood after, that would be great. Thank you so much.
So many ways to give here at GPC. Another opportunity for you as well, as our Jamaican mission team prepares for our travels in February, the preschool or basic school that we work with down in Green Island has made a request for some school supplies. There is a list in your bulletin, so please take a look. And donations for, remember, these are preschool students, so kind of take a look at that list and purchase accordingly. The last Sunday that we'll receive those donations will be that first Sunday in February, so we can get those suitcases packed. And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Sisters and brothers, today we recall Jesus came to the waters of baptism. In baptism, our Creator claims us and frees us from the power of hatred and death. In baptism, we are joined to Christ and we are joined together in unity, recalling there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In baptism, the Spirit of God anoints us for ministry and makes us signs of divine love. It is the mark of acceptance into the church and the beginning of our growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. Therefore, on this day, the whole church, the body of Christ, remembers and celebrates.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Great and creator God, you form, redeem, and call us by name. You hear our first cries and the groans of our old age. We confess that too often we live as though we matter to no one. When we encounter the waters of chaos and confusion, we feel overwhelmed. Help us to hear and live your words to us, that we are precious and loved. Thus says the God who created you and formed us in God's image. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. This is good news. I belong to God.
It's time that children are welcome to come forward. Good morning. Guess what? We're going somewhere else today. So you get to come hang out with me over here. So come on over. All right, so we're going to form a circle all the way around the font. Ready? And so if you are a little person who wants to be able to see the water, come right to the front. So tiny people up front. If you're a little bit taller, make sure you take just a little step back so tiny person can come in. Thank you. So many people in the congregation know that this is my favorite Sunday. It is. I know. It is my favorite Sunday. It's not Christmas. It's not Easter. It's the day after Coffee House. Yes, that makes it a good Sunday too. But today is the baptism of our Lord, otherwise known as Jesus, Sunday. This is the Sunday where we come to worship, we remember and celebrate our baptisms. How many of you remember your baptism? Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I don't. Okay, but you know what? What's really cool is I remember a lot of your baptisms because I was there for them, and they were such special days. A day in which your parents and the congregation promised to love and to nurture and to teach you about Jesus. And it was a time, even if you don't remember, that we remember and celebrate God's love for each and every one of you. And one of the ways that we remember is with water. Who wants to touch the water? I do too. Okay. There we go. How does the water feel today? Oh, it feels wet. Yeah. Not cold. Thank you, Jenny, for making the water warm today. So you all are lucky because you all can remember your baptism by maybe just a little. It was a very special day. And so because so many of us don't remember, we take this day to think and to remember and celebrate and give thanks that God loves each and every one of us. So we have some words that we're going to say. It's okay. Splashing's good. If you don't want to be splashed on, take a little bit of a step back. We're going to say with the congregation some words. So I have all the words, but you all, guess what? They're super easy. So I'm going to... You accidentally splashed yourself. That's okay. So will you help me in the responsive parts say, I belong to God. Can you guys say that? I belong to God. So I will point at you and the congregation will join in and we'll say that I belong to God. So the covenant of baptism is a reminder that God loves us. In these waters, we hear the words, I belong to God. As we touch the water and splash in it, we celebrate that God baptizes us so that we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. In our living, we demonstrate to others, I belong to God. In these waters, we live and we splash and we renew our trust in God's promise for our lives. I belong to God. Amen. All right, so now you can take your wet selves to Sunday school. Sorry, parents. But we did it, didn't we? Yeah.
Today's gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptized you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
Thank you.
You can learn a lot about a person by the stories that they tell about themselves. I grew up in a home where my parents told very few stories about themselves, their lives, or growing up. As I got older, I learned that the absence of stories can say a lot as well. It wasn't until later in my life that I learned about my father, who grew up in a Catholic family of 7 children with an abusive alcoholic father and a mother who gave herself over to her work just to escape from her household. And for the most part, my mom grew up without a mother. A few years after my mom was born, my grandmother lost a child a few months after giving birth. She went on to suffer what today would be called a mental breakdown. She left my mom and her older sister when they were very small children to be raised by their father. My grandma went to work in the nightclubs of Detroit during the 1960s. All I know is that she returned to the small town in Canada only occasionally for visits. I actually don't even know the whole story of how she reconnected with her daughters. Because growing up, all I knew was this super fun grandma who was always there for all of her grandchildren, all of their accomplishments and joys. When I was in my early 20s, though, my grandmother went through the process that many do of downsizing, and she asked some of us to come and help pack up her home. While going through a closet, I came across an old photo album of her when she was about the age that I was then. And there were these pictures of her and these 2 other young women in front of this, obviously old, pickup truck with a makeshift tent fashioned in the back of it. I said, "Grandma, what is this from?" "Oh, that," she smiled. "After high school, I was an Anglican missionary in the rural provinces of Canada. A couple girlfriends and I taught Sunday school to country kids where there weren't churches." What? How did I not know this about her? How is it that I know so few of her life stories? She continues to be a woman of mystery to me in so many ways. But in the absence of her stories, I pay closer attention to her during our visits, like I did over Christmas. That joy that spreads across her face when she sees her great-grandchildren, the importance of her faith in her life, and this stubborn independence that she has, this fierce commitment to doing things her way, no matter what, and the way in which she gives her grandchildren all sorts of space and permission to do what we need to do with our lives, especially when things are difficult. And I continue to wonder about the ways that she processes the stories of her life that she doesn't talk about, how they provided self-understanding and helped shape that life in turn. And of course, I wonder how these stories impacted my mom and her sisters growing up. And now, how do those stories, those untold stories, shape me as a person? What stories do we tell or not tell about ourselves? How do they shape who we are and who we will become? These questions were on my mind this week as I was clearing out some files from the top shelf in my office. I came across this binder containing the last 2 church information forms used when congregations are searching for a pastor. I smiled, remembering the first one. the one that was sent to me 10 or 8 years ago when I first became your pastor in 2010. And then the other one was from a decade earlier. The stories contained in these documents told me something very important about our church. The ways that for decades we have embraced diversity in education and age, economic background, theological and political perspectives, culture and race. These documents told me the ways that the stories that we tell about ourselves, that GPC believes that these differences enrich our spiritual community. I read stories about the ways that the congregation embraced caring for their neighbors by adopting refugee families, serving alongside those experiencing poverty in Rochester, and sending mission teams to Guatemala and Jamaica following devastating hurricanes and civil war. For more than 40 years, the story GPC has told about itself is that we believe no matter what, God is with us. That God is with our neighbors and God is in this world. As Christians, of course, we look to the Bible as the great top shelf collector of stories that we tell about ourselves. Some of them do get relegated to the places where we need to pull them off and dust them off and tell them again, especially when they are the kind of stories that tell us simply and directly what we need to hear. The story of a God who never leaves us, who always stands by us, who is always with us, no matter what. Hear these words, God's words, as they came from the prophet Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear. For I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by not my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. It's important for us to understand the background of these words from the prophet Isaiah, who reports from the mouth of God. Because this story was told over and over again by the Israelite people in the context of their exile in Babylon. When God's people were far from home and all that they knew that was familiar and sacred was destroyed, and they languished for more than a full generation as strangers in a strange land. We can't understand the importance, the depth, the passion of the commitment God is proclaiming here without understanding the devastation that precedes it. I am with you, God says. I was with you, and I am with you, and I will be with you. Another story that I was told about GPC, just in little snippets, not long after becoming your pastor, one that I hear bubble up from time to time, was that not long after making the transition from the old church to this one now more than half a century ago, there was controversy with the leadership, and it nearly tore this church to pieces. I'm going to bet there are probably countless more stories like this one, the stories that go untold, the stories that are part of who we are and how we understand ourselves, the stories that when we are living through them, we still hear God's promises, I am with you. At the end of this month, we will be ordaining and installing a new group of deacons and elders. And then a week later, we're going to commission a group of 13 people who will travel to Jamaica. We will call these folks forward on those two different Sundays so that we can pray over them and for them. We will commission them in different ways to work on our behalf for this church and with this church. We will convey to them our deepest hopes and dreams for our future together and this world. We will entrust them with our story and in turn hear their stories as they share about the ways that God is with them and us through it all. For friends, this is the story of God's love for us. I am with you. When you wake up in the morning and greet the brand new day, a day that you have never seen before, I am with you. When you set about your daily routine at home, in the office, in the classroom, at the senior center, in the doctor's office, or gym, I am with you. When volunteering your time with paintbrush in hand, serving meals to those who are hungry, I am with you. When you get a phone call or an email or a text or a letter that tells you terrible news or wonderful news, I am with you. When you are sure your heart is breaking and can never, ever be mended again, I am with you, says the Lord your God. So when you're sitting in that boring committee meeting or a much more exciting session meeting, a staff meeting, a parent-teacher conference, a town council meeting, I am with you. In passion's embrace, in the heat of an argument, in asking for forgiveness, in telling the truth, I am with you. When you are writing that letter to the editor or laying down your pencil after a test, when talking to that emergency room doctor, I am with you. And when you lay your weary head down on the pillow at night, whether your heart is filled with anxiety or gratitude, fear or love, I am with you. That is what God promises us. That is the good news of remembering and celebrating the waters of baptism this day and each and every one of us. This is what we take into every room, every situation, every relationship of our lives. For this is our story. God's promise to us, I am with you. Thanks be to God. Thank you. recognizing that in fact God does come to us in all the places of our lives, those places where we experience joy, where we experience pain, and everything in between. Your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern are shared here in this place. If you have one to share aloud, raise your hand. Tell us who you are and how we can pray for you today.
Cheryl Fennell, prayers for our daughter-in-law, Katie, who lost her grandmother this past week, who would have been 93 yesterday. And so last night, though, we were able to all get together and see sort of the beginning of life as our granddaughter is going to be 7 months old tomorrow, and Caroline, so that part has been very nice.
Prayers for Katie and the loss of her grandmother and the entire family during this time. Let's see. Maybe I may need a microphone rescue over there. That's all right. We'll go with Cherie first. Go ahead.
Hi, Cherie Barrett. Prayers for Avery Sinisu. She is the 11-year-old daughter of my coworker who's relapsed for the fourth time with cancer.
Prayers for Avery and for her entire family as she continues to battle cancer.
Sue Macalini, I ask for prayers for Walt's brother-in-law, George. He's not doing well.
Prayers for George. We're going to go right over here.
Hi, I have a prayer of joy. I was excited to say something good. My grandson, Keith Sapansky, goes to Notre Dame of Batavia. He's a junior, and he was selected to the All-State football team.
Wonderful. So really excited. Prayers of great joy for him. Jan.
Jan Brewer. Prayers for my family, and particularly my sister-in-law and two nephews. I lost my younger brother yesterday.
Prayers for you, Jan, and the death of your younger brother and for the entire family during this time.
Sally Christensen, I have a huge prayer of joy and thankfulness for my church family. It's been a rough fall, and the love and support and prayer and cards have been a humbling outpouring from my church family. And I also want to report that our little grandson who had the hand surgery is doing really, really well.
Great.
So prayers of joy.
Prayers of joy. Thank you, Sally. Any other hands up? Not seeing any others. Would also ask your prayers this morning for Gary Puckhaber and Diane Kern in the death of their son, TJ. Also, prayers from our children today. Prayers of joy for birthday parties, for times with our family. Prayers of joy for performances at Disney World. And prayers of concern for a pet that passed away. Let us continue our time of prayer. Your word of light and hope floods into our lives, O God. We have lived in darkness, in despair and fear, doubt and strife. But on this day, you remind us that we are marked by you to be witnesses to your light of new hope. As the heavens opened at Jesus' baptism, so is your love poured out on us. We have brought before you names and situations which concern us, people who face illness and grief, whose lives are torn apart by poverty, war, alienation, addiction, and hopelessness. We ask for your loving mercy on them, O Lord. Heal them and bind up their wounds. Help us to be people who are ready to be involved in ministries of peace and justice, bringing the light of your hope to those who dwell in the darkness and despair. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Heavenly Father, we're coming away from the season of giving, the holiday season in which people drop money, the Salvation Army pot, or buy toys for tots, or give coats to the homeless. Let us not forget that season as we begin our new year, and stay with us, be with us, and ensure that a generous portion of our offering is given to our neighbors who are much less fortunate than us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
for our benediction this morning, I call attention to your words on the front of your bulletin. For indeed, may your life be a river. May you flow with the purpose of the one who created and called you, who directs your course and turns you toward home. May your way shimmer the light of Christ, who goes with you, who bears you up, who calls you by name. And may you move with the grace of the Spirit, who brooded over the face of the waters at the beginning, and who will gather you in at the end. Alleluia. Amen.